It's Thursday, September 24th, and this is our Super Contest gambling episode. Welcome back. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. Had a little wonky week, 2-3 last week, 6-4 overall in the Super Contest. But Matt, I feel like this week the lines have settled down a little bit. Week two was a little bit weird. We're going to go back to some of our roots. We have a lot of line movement this week. A lot of teams getting points as we enter the week. But Super Contest lines are set now, so we're ready to go, Matt. How you doing, buddy?
Let's do this thing, Jeff. I'm a little perplexed after last week. Didn't have my best week. Did have a good call. I did go pretty strong for the Raiders on the Monday night game, which ended up being about the only smart thing I said all week. So
it was a weird week.
Like, forget the losses.
We went against a lot of our principles, which we bet a lot of road favorites real heavy. And I don't think we're doing that this week. I don't know. Some weeks, Matt and I talk beforehand and we kind of, okay, this is what we're, you know, this is what we like, what we don't like. I said one pick to Matt that I sort of do like, and that was it. So we're kind of going this together differently. So I'm excited to see how we end up with our five picks. For those who forget how this works, we're going to go through every game. So you will get tidbits about your favorite team, whether or not we choose them for our five Super Contest picks. So we'll start with the Thursday night game. We'll go through all of them. And by the end, we'll have five consensus picks for the Super Contest. Again, 6-4 in the year, still positive. We'll take that after 2 weeks. And sure, Matt, will. Why don't you lead us off, buddy?
Well, let's start with the game that that you did like. Just get it right out of the way quickly. It's the Thursday night game, which is Miami at Jacksonville. A game I was not planning to spend a whole lot of time watching, but maybe you're going to talk me into it. The Jags are laying 3 to Ryan Fitzmagic and the Dolphins.
Well, here's the reason why I would like this pick a lot by Jacksonville. Again, we know they're supposed to tank this. Yeah, Jacksonville, -3. We know they're supposed to tank. We get it, right? They're supposed to tank, but they're a feisty team, Matt, right? They keep playing hard in these games. They obviously beat the Colts in week one, which I told everyone, hey, guys, watch out for that game. Felt like a trap game. Don't shake your head at me, Matt. Last week they lose by 3 to the Tennessee. But here's why. Miami is absolutely terrible on defense through 2 games. They're 28th in the red zone, and they allow the most big plays in the National Football League. Guess what Jacksonville does well? They're 2nd so far in the red zone, and they're 1st on 3rd down. So I get a really good offense with an offensive line that's finally healthy and improving. A team that plays their butt off against a Miami team that's just not that talented. You have to hope. If you're picking Miami here, Matt, you're hoping that you get a backdoor cover. It's the only way that you're not going to win this game outright.
So last week, I had a bet with my buddy. Miami was 5.5-point home dogs to Buffalo. And we were talking in the lead up to the game. We were like, why wouldn't we take Miami? And then my buddy goes, you know, I can just see it now. Miami's going to be down 11. They're going to be driving with Fitzpatrick with 4 minutes left, and we're going to be locked. We're going to be like, we have no chance of losing this. And that's exactly what happened. They backdoor cover every single game. I don't know why of all of the games this week, this is the one you like. I will say.
No, I know. It's not the only one I like. I like a lot of them, but I with a Thursday, like out of the bang, I felt like we might get a Thursday night football game in the mix. Real quick, Dolphins 10-4 versus the line in the last 14 games. Talks about Ryan Fitzpatrick, Fitzmagic covering at the end. So to your point, and what I said too, is they find a way to backdoor cover these games. But I just think Jacksonville is going to score a lot of points.
I think Jacksonville, you're buying as high as you possibly could on them. They didn't get annihilated by the Titans, and they beat the Colts in that very fishy game that we both spotted in week one. Yeah. Miami's hung in there with maybe 2 of the, 4 or 5 best teams in the AFC with New England and Buffalo.
Yeah.
They were in both of those games. I don't want to bet against Fitzpatrick. This is a tough sell for me.
All right, we'll pass on it for now because I think we can get to more games. But I really do like Jacksonville -3. If you're looking for some action Thursday night, do that. But also some other action. Gardner Minshew, I have it right here, over 265.5 yards. Of course, look, go to your favorite book. The number might change as we go. But I just laid out why with, number 2 in the red zone, number 1 on 3rd down. Miami's defense sucks. If you're looking for some action on this game, I think Gardner Minshew over whatever total it's going to be. I don't. Every book's different, obviously, but I have 265.5. Feels like a good way to go here.
Oh, I like the Dolphins money line. So we're on different sides on this one. The next game, I'm curious where you are here. This is Houston at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is a 4-point home favorite. I have a feeling we're both going to be talking about some betting principles here. That's my guess.
Well, I want to stay away from this game. But I, I would say I like Pittsburgh here to win this. I just think they're a much better football team. But last week scared the heck out of me. They just play down to so many teams. Houston, they're not going to play down for. And so I wonder if this is a situation where they're really get up for this game. This game opened at 6, now down to 4. So a lot of money coming in on Houston. But there are some trends to look at here, Matt. Teams that are 0-2 straight up and 0-2 against the spread entering week 3 win against the spread 60% of the time since 2003. And even more recently, it's an even better number for those teams. And so Houston, 0-2, failed to cover 2 games. And I wonder how much that plays into this. But I would lean Pittsburgh, but I don't feel great about it.
So you're right about the trend. That was definitely what I was going to reference here. I mean,
I have a better trend. I found it, by the way. Okay, so we'll just that was from 2003. Thank you, fine folks at Action Network. They go way back. But I'll even give you a trend from just the last 4 years. Teams that started 0-2 against the spread are 22-7 against the spread in week 3.
So the play here then would be Houston. The problem here, obviously, is it's Houston. They definitely aren't the same team. But the thing is, Pittsburgh has barely beaten through 2 games Jeff Driskel and Danny Dimes. Like, we get that their defense is obviously very good, but Jeff Driskel moved the ball on them last week. That was a surprise. They didn't have the film on him, whatever. That guy was the most automatic fade in the entire league last year. Houston, each time they've gone 0-2 under Bill O'Brien, they've made the playoffs that year. So they have a little habit of turning things around here. This is a pros Joe's game. Like, what happened was it's open at 6. Everybody saw that trend, knew that trend, bet it down to 4. And now the public is just going to hammer Pittsburgh all week. My big concern here is this did open at 6. We're not getting a good number. Houston would be my play. The 4 is better than 3, but I don't think that this is one I would want to die on.
No, I'm with you here. I think there's too many variables. But I will say, Pittsburgh, again, typically plays up for these games and down for Danny Dimes and Jeff Driskel. So it's a terrible flaw of Mike Tomlin teams. So I do wonder if that's the case here. But we'll stay away from this. I think we have other games that we like better.
Yeah, I think so. So this might be one of them. It's Tennessee at Minnesota. Minnesota is a 2.5-point home dog. How disrespectful.
Well, they're not very good right now. They're not very good right now. I mean, that's why the disrespect is here. But this is a classic game for a home dog getting points, man. Like, classic. I think out of principle, this feels like a game that we have to put in. Like, I don't feel great about it, but there's a ton of money on Tennessee right now. 99% of the money is on Tennessee after the Vikings have a horrendous start to the season. I just told you guys the issues that you know, with against the spread in week 3. So it's good for us with the Vikings. You know, they're 30th in total defense. They're last in passing. They're tied for 29th on third down. They're atrocious. Offensively, not much better. Tennessee, really good on offense. Not really good. They're getting by okay on offense, but they're playing decent defense. But I just, back against the wall, veteran team, has to win the game at home. No crowd noise, obviously. But I like Vikings here plus 2.5.
I do too. This is one of those that you hold your nose. This reminds me a little bit of last week with the Chiefs, which we stepped right into, where 99% of the money ended up being on the Chiefs and the home dog ended up covering. Look, if you throw out that Indianapolis game, the Vikings came out of the gate looking a little bit weak on defense and played Green Bay close. And everyone thinks Green Bay's, you know, the cream of the crop. So I'm fine. I like this one a lot.
Yeah, we'll put this in here. Again, this is a hold your nose and bet game. But this is I know this sounds silly because you come to us, you know, just we talk about gambling, and I don't think neither of us would say we're sharps, but this is a 1,000% sharp play. Like this is a bet that the sharp money is going on this bet. And again, we'll ride it. Minnesota plus 2.5.
Yeah. Also, Indianapolis last week, who shut off Minnesota's offense. Indianapolis is a top 5 rush defense so far this season. Tennessee does not have that. And they've gotten in these two weird games where, you know, they kind of got lucky in each. They missed the kicks. Like, they just don't feel like everyone's sort of eager to put them in the good teams category. I don't know if we've seen it yet.
Yep.
All right, so we've got one, Minnesota. Next one, we've got Chicago at Atlanta. This is the standard 3
for Atlanta. I'm staying the F away from this game.
What the hell is this line?
There's nothing here I want to – I don't even want to talk about this game. You're only betting this game if you're crazy, if you're a Falcons fan. If you're a Bears fan, you're just betting it because you're just happy you're 2-0. But this has Falcons written all over it, but I don't trust them. So I'm not touching this game.
This feels like they know they're getting no bets on the Bears, right? Yeah. They were just like, give the Bears some points. But this is a mess, man. This is, I mean, both of these teams, I don't really know what to make of. I do think Atlanta's probably the play, but woof. Let's just pass on that. All right, next one. The banged up San Francisco 49ers are laying 4 at the Giants, obviously where they played last week. And it was a bit of a hard show, even though they won.
You know, Matt.
Here we
Giants
go.
Giants plus 4.
Lay it on me,
Giants
Jeff.
Giants plus 4.
Just wash over me with this Danny Dimes that we're going to have to play.
We have to play it. You know, we have to. I'm just going to put it in the category. We have to play it. So here's many reasons for this, I think. Obviously, the Giants, they covered last week at the very end, which was good, right? They almost covered against the Steelers as well in week one. They just do enough to cover. Yep. That's more about the Niners being psychologically a little bit off this week. Everyone's hurt, right? Bosa's hurt, out for the season. Solomon Thomas, defensive lineman, out this week. He got hurt last week as well. Jimmy Garoppolo, probably not playing this week. Kittle, probably not playing this week. They're thinking about that MetLife turf they've been complaining about the entire week. I do not know if that's a thing or not. I haven't done enough research on the MetLife turf. But they're sort of thinking about all that stuff. They've been on the road all week. They're staying in West Virginia. And the Giants just need a dang win. I mean, like, I just think at some point they need a win. Saquon Barkley, I feel like, the pressure of having him be the guy is now dissipated, right? And I feel like when they force the Saquon Barkley issue because they drafted him. Now the offense, in my opinion, will be more free-flowing, Matt. You don't have to force Saquon Barkley on everybody. And maybe you let Danny Dimes be your offense more than you let Saquon be your offense. The Niners pass rush, they entered the year. Well, they ended the Super Bowl with DeForest Buckner, right? Dee Ford, Nick Bosa, and Arik Armstead. All they have left is Armstead, right? Dee Ford is also probably not going to play this week as well. So I get a poor defensive line, no Kittle, no Garoppolo, like no motivation to play Carr in this game. They don't like the turf. Like, I just feel like there's no reasons to – I can't give you positive reasons to bet the Giants. I can give you reasons not to bet the 49ers.
Right. But I think your points are all valid. The first thing that I find a little bit curious is they're staying on the East Coast. They're staying close by. They're in West Virginia. I'm in New York City. That's like a 15-hour drive. Like, that's not close. I don't understand what they accomplished.
Well,
part of it is that
the hotel there, it's a famous hotel, Greenbrier, right? They're football ready. Like they hosted the Saints all the time in training camp. Like they're ready to just have football teams show up. But that's why people stay there.
Sure. Fair enough. Having said all that, the 49ers, first of all, this is one to watch because if Nick Mullins ends up playing instead of Jimmy Garoppolo, this is like lock of the century, I would think. But you're right. San Francisco has 3 home games after this. They just want to get this game over with and get out of there. And you're right. The Giants have been frisky, man. Like, they've been fun to bet on. They've been fun to watch. They're in every game until the end. And look, they don't have Saquon Barkley, but Barkley contributed nothing to them this season. I think he ended with like what, under 15 rushing yards.
They have the same record with or without him, by the way. Like they're not any better or worse when he's not there. And so again, I think this, my opinion, it allows you not just force feed Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I wonder if that's going to be true of the Panthers, too. We'll get to them eventually. Okay, so we've got the Giants there. We've got the Giants and the Vikings as home dogs so far.
No one's going to bet on these games, but go ahead.
That's how this works, man. Maybe we're going to level our ship here.
No, this is no. We are making the right picks. Like, we've been doing this.
No, we definitely are.
Okay, go ahead.
But we definitely are. But I want to feel kind of good about any of them from a like intellectual standpoint, or maybe an emotional standpoint.
I feel like the Niners. I made the case. The Niners are. It's a psychological pick, right? They're just completely beat to shit.
Yeah, it's just we have to bet on Danny Dimes, but it's fine. I'm really curious if you like this, Jeff, because this is the Las Vegas Raiders coming off a huge win, 6.5-point road underdogs at New England. What are your thoughts here?
I don't like the 6.5, but I like New England here. I feel like the Raiders are kind of in for a rude awakening, going to New England now off a very big win on Monday Night Football. New England's going to be pissed. Obviously, they lost that game against Seattle. I don't terribly like this game, but I do really lean New England here with that defense. Here's something about Derek Carr, who's playing pretty well right now. He's averaging 6.2 air yards per attempt, which is very low, right? Fourth lowest in the NFL. We've been knocking Drew Brees for this for a while, but he only averages, not only averages, but averages more, 17.7 air yards per attempt when targeting rookie Henry Ruggs. That makes that number basically 6.2, because otherwise it's at 4.6. Everyone else is targeting 4.6 air yards. The Patriots will just take Ruggs away from him and make him throw underneath and make life tough for him. The one concern I have about betting the Patriots, though, is that I don't think they can stop the run very well. We saw that with Baltimore last season, just ran right over them. The Raiders can run the football. So I lean New England here, but I don't feel comfortable putting this in here.
Let me give you two stats. Let me see if I can change your mind. The Raiders, 2-8 in their last 10 against the spread and straight up at 1 p.m. on an early game on the East Coast. Coming off of a short week, a huge win opening up their stadium. We know that they're way worse on the road under Gruden. Great situational spot for New England. Since 2003, this is stat number two, New England 42-18 against the spread after a loss. 70% of the time they're covering. That's by far the best rate in the NFL. They're not going to lose this game. They're not losing two games in a row. They're not losing to the Raiders. They're a damn good team. Seattle got them last week. The Raiders, I think this is the ultimate. When are they ever going to be more highly valued than right here? I like New England a lot here.
You know what? I really wanted to bet New England, and I'm glad you convinced me to do so. I'm going to put New England in the mix. I kind of wanted to bet them this week. I don't really like 6.5, but I really think that this is an emotional letdown for the Raiders here. And your point about the not losing two games in a row, and they have to be salty, right? They allowed 5 touchdown passes the other day. That's more than they allowed all of last season to any wide receiver. And Cam Newton was close to winning that game. He played really, really well, exceeded expectations. And I'm not sure the Raiders' defense is any good. So I'm good with putting New England here. Let's do it, buddy.
Let's do it. I'm a little worried about Darren Waller murdering this defense, but other than that, I feel pretty okay. He was incredible on Monday night. Next up, this is one of the strangest games of this week. Cincinnati +5 at Philadelphia. Talk to me.
I'm not talking about this game. Next game. I don't even know. There's nothing to talk about here. This is the grossest game of the weekend, because look, the Bengals have nothing to play for, right? They play for pride, right? And Joey Burrow is doing a great job of playing for pride. He's doing a fantastic, he laid back to recover last week against the Bengals. The Browns, I should say. The Eagles, they're a freaking mess. They're 32nd in offensive DVOA. 32nd.
I mean, granted, that was after getting sacked 100 times in week one.
Is Cincinnati, who has 3% of the money on them. But we're not playing this. No, we're not playing this game.
Too sharp. The play here is the Eagles, who are, just to remind the listeners of that stat that you mentioned at the top of the show, 61% of the time, teams that don't cover or win in their first 2 weeks, they're hitting in week three, 61% of the time. Philly, look, this was six. I'm just going to make the case. It was 6 everywhere. And this super contest line at 5.5 is the best line I've seen yet. So you are getting the best of the number for now. Look, Joe Burrow has kept it close in two games. Their weak point on Cincinnati, right? It's the offensive line and the defense. Carson Wentz is going to probably have a good game against this defense. And that offensive that Bengals offensive line is going to get massacred by Philly. That's the strength of their unit, is that defensive team, the defensive line. So
I see this line.
Philly, if you're
I see this line, by the way, at 4.5 now some places.
Wow.
So
big movement.
I let's stay away from this for now.
Let's pass. Okay. Next up, I like it on rundown. It says football team +7 at the Browns. So my Washington football team +7 at Cleveland. Jeff, what do you think?
I mean, I think the play here is the points with Washington, but I don't want no part of this game whatsoever. I think Washington's defensive line and defense, still number one in DVOA, by the way, this season. Number one DVOA, the Washington football team. I don't have a great feel for this game.
Washington 11 sacks in 2 games. I think Baker Mayfield is going to get his ass kicked in this, but I still don't want to bet Washington.
I don't either. I don't trust him.
That's a pass. I do like the 7 though. Okay, next game here, Jeff. Maybe the marquee game of the week that's not in primetime. So this is the Rams visiting the Bills. The Bills, 2.5-point favorites. What do you think?
So you guys know I was down on the Rams start the season. They have convinced me otherwise. They have, there's 2 things that they've done that I was just questioning. One was just defensive playmakers outside of Donald and Ramsey. They're doing enough on defense. It's not perfect, but they're doing enough on defense, right? They're 14th right now in DVOA after 2 weeks. And yes, they played a really bad Eagles team. I get that. But the Cowboys are talented offensively. They just put up 40 points against the Falcons. But secondly, more importantly, I question whether Sean McVay was going to change his style of offense to fit his offensive line. Last year, they ran all that zone, and their offensive line couldn't block it. And they didn't change. This year, he's changed. He changed his run scheme, which is allowing them to get more yards. Their offensive line is playing well, and putting Jared Goff in situations where he can play action pass, where Jared Goff is fabulous against play action pass. But here's a couple numbers that really excite me about the Rams here, and it has to do with coaching. They've covered seven straight in the early kickoff Eastern time zone. So 1 p.m. Eastern, that's 10 a.m. out west. They've won and covered 7 straight of those games. They're 10-2 against the spread in their last 12 road games as well. So very well-coached team. You have Buffalo right now that probably is going to be no higher, right? I mean, like, they're sky and high right now. Josh Allen, AFC Player of the Week. They just beat Miami. They beat the Jets. Miami and the Jets, really, like, those are 2 terrible football teams. The Rams played, I know the Eagles aren't very good, but they played a Cowboys team that's going to win the NFC East, maybe by default. I like the Rams here. They're playing really good football.
You know, Jeff, I was kind of off this one, and you've talked me into it. Sean McVay, 7-1, both against the spread and straight up as the coach of the Rams in September. Buffalo, look, you said it, the strength of schedule has been an issue. The Rams have been pretty well tested so far and have come out looking good. I'll take it. I mean, the fact that it's 2.5 here, I think that people, Vegas is still kind of leaning on the preseason respect for the Bills and maybe the disrespect for the Rams, but enough money probably came in on the 3 that they're hedging a little bit.
Yeah.
I like it.
I mean, overall DVOA, they're 5-6. So it's a very even matchup. LA third in offense, seventh, third on offense, 14th, in defensive DVOA, Buffalo 7-12. So they're very closely matched teams, but I get a better quarterback, I think, in Goff. So I'll go with the Rams.
Yeah, this is a tough one with betting the short home dogs. We're sort of going against that principle here, but let's go. Let's go Sean McVay in September.
We'll put this in there. There's still a couple others that might fancy.
Here. All right. Well, I'd like to know what you fancy, Jeffrey. Let's move on to our next thing. This is probably not one of the ones you fancy. This is the New York Jets. Gabe Goodwin's New York Jets at the Colts. Colts lay in 11 points. Do we even need to discuss this?
No, just move along. I mean, The Colts probably win this game by 25, but I'm not touching this.
Yeah, I don't trust Phil Rivers to be more than
a
3-point favorite even over the Jets. That's going to be everyone's survivor pick this week, including mine, and it will murder me. Like, even if I win, I know I will be murdered personally by it. Even just the fact that I will have to know that this game is on will be enough to murder me. let's hope the Colts can just win. Next up is Carolina +6.5 at the Los Angeles Chargers. Man, no Christian McCaffrey. maybe Justin Herbert. Hey, man, congrats on Justin Herbert. I haven't had the chance to give you a proper congratulations yet. He looked great.
He played well the other day. This one's tough.
Can before we even get jump in here, can I ask you about this Tyrod Taylor story?
Yes.
Can you explain? I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but basically what happened was he was injured by the training staff before the game, right?
Yeah. So he went to get an injection for a rib injury, and they basically went too deep and punctured his lung. So he got a collapsed lung, and that's why he didn't play this weekend. And so I think that Anthony Lynn was being so forceful with his basically rebuff of Justin Herbert from this weekend. He was pretty harsh on him on Monday. And I think he did that because they kind of have to protect themselves against some sort of suit of some sort, some lawsuit or something because of what happened to Tyrod Taylor.
I mean, have you ever heard of anything like this ever?
No, I have not. So I feel bad for Tyrod, right? He lost his job in Cleveland to a concussion. He's going to eventually lose his job here to this. He might come back and play at some point this year just to say he played, but Herbert looked good. He's going to take over that job.
Yeah, he did. He looked really good. It's a terrible situation for Taylor. I feel really bad for him.
Yeah.
Moving on to this game. I mean, do you have a thought?
I mean, I think the play here is Carolina plus the 6.5, but I just don't think they're a very good football team right now. And I don't know what I'm getting with Herbert in week 2. Like, I don't feel great about this.
Another question for you is, so people have argued that this Herbert's success last week against the Chiefs was because they didn't know this was going to come and they had no tape on him. So like, what a disadvantage, right?
No, that's not
a thing.
Think about this. So Justin Herbert, when you practice, you have the ones, right? Like you have your one unit and let's say you get 30 reps in a team practice. 29 of those are with the starting quarterback. Maybe one, the backup, you just throw them in there, right? The backup to scout team all week. So Justin Herbert did scout team all week. Yeah, he knows the game plan. He's part of the meetings, part of the walkthroughs. But Tyrod Taylor took all the reps during the week. And then you find out 2 minutes before the game, hey, Justin, you're starting today, buddy. So he has a game plan designed for Tyrod Taylor that he is running.
Right.
He has not practiced all week. And he played really well against an extremely good Chiefs defense. And look, there were mistakes. Yes, he overthrew Keenan Allen, a terrible interception. That's all true. But I think he acquitted himself very well in this game. And I think he will play decently well this week. But I just don't have a feel for the 6.5. And I don't have a great feel for this one.
Yeah. Possible trap game for the Chargers. They go on the road for Tampa and New Orleans next. This is after a tough loss. No McCaffrey. I mean, it could be the same thing as Barkley where they don't have to force it to him. But I agree. This is just a stay away. I don't know. I don't have a good lean on this one.
Yeah. So we'll stay away.
Yeah. All right. Stay away there. I'm excited to talk about this one. This is Dallas +5 at Seattle. Two teams everybody's thinking about this week. I'm sure everyone will have an opinion on this game. There'll be a lot of bets. Where do you lean in?
All right. So who has the better offensive line in this game?
It depends who's playing for Dallas.
I believe Teron Smith is playing this week.
So then the Cowboys.
Okay. Who has better skill position players?
Definitely Dallas.
Who has the better pass rush?
Definitely Dallas.
All right. So who should we take with getting 5 points in this game?
Seattle? I actually do think Dallas might be the play here, but that's an interesting way to frame it.
Right? Like there's obviously it's very tough to bet this game because Tyron Smith is not playing. And maybe we have to do a thing where we say, hey, we'll take Dallas, but if he doesn't play, we're just going to bet another. We're going to put the sixth game into this slot, which is silly. But like we were MFing each other because we didn't know that we took Dallas last week. We didn't know that Tyron Smith wasn't playing, right? We record this Wednesday night. So injury reports on Wednesday don't mean anything come Sunday. A lot of veterans take off practice Tuesday and Wednesday. So I like Dallas here. And I just, I know you, this screams, by the way, this screams like backdoor cover, in my opinion. Like this screams like we saw last week where Seattle's up 10. Seattle hasn't stopped anyone. They haven't stopped anyone all season. Bingo. Look, Atlanta put up a ton of yards on them and scored a bunch of points. Yes, it was late in the game. I get it. But Cam Newton drove the field up and down on them the entire game. And I just think that you get, like I mentioned, you get the better talented team in Dallas getting 5 points. And the home field advantage doesn't matter here, right? It doesn't matter. There's no noise in Seattle. So I like the Cowboys.
I'm with you. I was leaning here too. Seattle's defense, as good as Seattle has looked, their defense has let teams back into games. Atlanta scored a ton of the points back in the second half in week one. And obviously New England kept it close last week. That game was over and it just never ended. Never could end. And Seattle doesn't put teams away. They score a lot of points, but Dallas scores a lot of points too. I mean, this is like squarest take of all time, but like the over in this one.
Well, the over is going to, yes, the over is the squarest pick of the week. There's a lot of that we would like to see here with a little bit of bets, 28% bets on Dallas, but 90% of the money. So we're seeing a lot of that sharp. Now we haven't seen reverse line movement, but we're seeing, and we might see some buyback at 5. I mean, like I said, it's Wednesday night. This game might close closer to 4 or 3.5, in my opinion. But I put them on the list for now.
Yeah. We're getting a good number here. All right. I like that one a lot. That was one of the ones I liked coming into this. Okay. Next up, we have Detroit +5.5 at everyone's favorite team, the Arizona Cardinals. Weird number. This feels just totally strange to me. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah, it's odd. I mean, I think the Lions is probably the play, but how do you trust the Lions right now? You don't trust them. I mean, Kenny Dog, Galladay's back, but
maybe
I don't trust them. Had 2 double-digit leads and didn't win any of those games. So I would say this just to stay away from me.
I kind of feel like Arizona is the play here. Detroit's lost 11 straight games, and they have the 31st ranked defense in DVOA. Kyler Murray is going to wreck this team. To me, I don't know why this isn't like 8.5, because Arizona is so public.
But Stafford, man, like if he gets Galladay back, like they can score a lot of points. This just feels like a.
It's a crap number, but
I don't feel. Do you feel great about it? I don't.
No, I don't. But right, Arizona would 1,000% be my play here.
Okay, so let's move on.
Fair enough. good leadership there. We needed to get back on track. All right, we've got Tampa Bay and the Bucks are 6-point road favorites at Denver. Yikes!
We did this last week, and we're not doing it again. I like Tampa to cover here, but I'm not putting it in the 5 picks.
How big would that number be for you to take Jeff Driscoll against Tampa Bay?
Okay, 14.5.
I think that would be too low for me, but also like I'm not playing the 6. There, it's the only place where you have a true home field advantage
is Denver. I mean, this reeks of like,
I hate this
like
line.
Doesn't this reek of like a 20-14 game? Just write that 6 number. Just like reeks of like just gonna be it's gonna be gross. It's gonna be gross. And this, everyone's gonna put them in a tease, by the way. Everyone's gonna tease the Patriots down to pick them.
The Bucks, money line.
I stay away from this game. I think Tampa's the play, but I just wouldn't know.
Yeah. Denver amazing at home as an underdog, 11-5 against the spread in their last 2 seasons. Okay, next up. The Sunday night game, man, these Sunday night, Monday night games are incredible this week, Jeff. Green Bay at the Saints. Saints are 3-point favorites at home. What do you think?
Well, you're getting a great number here because this opened up at 6.5, and the Saints then lost to the Raiders and it went all the way to 3. The Saints have issues on offense. As we evidence, very evidence to see the other day against Oakland, Drew Brees just can't throw the ball down the field very well. And that's like just he's 40 years old. I mean, this is what happens when we turn 40. They did something very interesting, by the way. So normally when you play a game, you fly right back. Like, you fly back after the game. They stayed in Vegas till Tuesday morning. And then before they left, they had like a emergency team meeting to go over the film. They were so pissed off they lost to the Raiders that they wanted to go watch the film. Green Bay's playing, really good football right now. I think this is a New Orleans play, but I mean, dude, there's so much money on Green Bay. We're seeing, much money on Green Bay.
The thing I mean, so many
bets on Green Bay, not so much money, so many bets.
Yeah, well, all the money's back on New Orleans now. I think here, two things that we sort of have to remind ourselves every season. The first is there's always a fluky couple games in week two, right? Like, everybody gets the sample from week one, thinks they know everything. Then week two comes along and everyone goes, whoa, hold on. We got misled in week one. But actually, week two is the red herring a lot of the times. New Orleans was in a tough spot there. That they were going to Vegas. They're opening that stadium. They're always better at home, the Raiders. And Michael Thomas not playing. Everyone's like, oh, Drew Brees, man, he's washed. Like, he can't throw down the field. Who are their receivers if Michael Thomas isn't playing? Emmanuel Sanders has still got to figure out this offense. If Michael Thomas comes back, then their offense completely changes. And on the other hand, if Devontae Adams is out, the Packers have the same problem that they had last season when they just couldn't get their offense moving without him on the field. Look, Green Bay, they've crushed two bad teams, right? They've played Minnesota, who clearly didn't have it together, and they let them back in that game, and then they beat Detroit. The Saints are coming off being embarrassed. They're playing at home. They're 8-2 in primetime in the last 2 years. The Packers in primetime, 3-7-1 against the spread. They're always overvalued. So I'm not surprised there was a huge correction in New Orleans this week. The Packers defense, 26th in DVOA to start the season. If there's ever a spot for New Orleans to get it together, primetime, at home, against a bad defense.
Yeah.
I like the Saints.
I think part of the problem with doing this early in the week is the injuries, right? So, like, we don't know if Thomas or Adams are going to play yet. And I don't know if I could feel comfortable taking the Saints without knowing if Thomas will play. Like, is that some of their concern doing this tonight, essentially?
For sure. So what we could do is we could agree on it and then change our pick later. I mean, we don't have to submit them today. But I do think if Thomas plays and Adams doesn't, it's a lock. If they both play, I still like it.
All right, I'm going to put this in the maybe, and we can figure out maybe a way to do this if we like this better than any other five we've chosen so far.
Sounds good. All right, marquee game of the week and maybe the season. Your Kansas City Chiefs, 3.5-point road dogs at Baltimore. Man, this one's going to be fun.
This hook is stinky. I don't like this hook on this game. Here's the deal. I think the Ravens are a better football team right now. I think that, and like I said all along this year, they've been on a mission from the very beginning. They are absolutely smashing teams right now. Their offense is flying full speed ahead. They just bring in Gus Edwards at the end of the game and say, hey, just run people over for us, right? They're going for a fourth down. They're being aggressive. Lamar Jackson looks way more accurate than he's ever been in his career. Defensively, they're generating a ton of pressure as usual. They're hitting the quarterback. They're creating turnover. They're doing everything we expected them to do. Now, the Chiefs obviously come off this mediocre win against the LA Chargers. Now, their offense has been a little bit off, though, right? It has not been the same offense that we saw the previous couple of seasons. Right now they're eighth in DVOA on offense, which is unlike the Chiefs at all. I mean, that's not what they've done the last couple of years. And so something's just not quite right with the Chiefs, in my opinion. Baltimore to me is the play at 3.5, but the problem, Matt, is that Mahomes does not lose in blowouts. Like, he does not lose in blowouts. Throughout his career, he's lost with 6 or less points. He just doesn't lose. So I'm supposed to believe that the Chiefs are down, let's say, 10 with 2 minutes left. He's not going to come back and cover for them. Like, that's my problem with this game, is I love Baltimore here, but I also would hate to be on the right side, and then Mahomes just scores a touchdown with 50 seconds left, and I lose the bet.
I think that's right. I don't really have a feel here, honestly. I mean, this is the two best teams in the NFL playing each other. Anything could happen. I think we like other games better, but I'm intrigued that you think the Ravens take this one.
I just think they're a better football team right now, and they're playing better football. And psychologically, this is a huge game for them, right? They've have not played well against the Chiefs the last two seasons. And, you know, even though the score ended up being close, last year was a blowout really early in the season. If you recall, Lamar had to throw up like two arm punts that were caught down, you know, down the end zone to get close in that game. So whatever reason, they played them well. But they're the team standing in front of them to get to their mission, which is obviously to go win a Super Bowl. And the number one seed is hugely important this year, right? With seven playoff teams, only one team gets a bye. And this is a tiebreaker game. It's a tiebreaker game right now to, you know, to get a bye. And it's at home now. There's not fans. And there may be fans. There's fans sprinkling back in as we go, by the way. If you look at like October, we're going to see more fans sprinkling. I'm not sure any fans will be in the stands for this game. But psychologically, there's more at stake for Baltimore than there is for Kansas City.
Do you think Kansas City may have viewed last week as a trap game and maybe they were trying to get up for this one?
I don't know, but they just looked asleep for most of the game. But the Chargers defensively have played them really well over the years. I mean, I know Andy Reid ends up covering a lot of those games, but they're like late covers, and Phillip Rivers throws, you know, he throws a pick as they're driving down the field, you know, to tie the game or whatever. I don't know. I don't know if they looked ahead. I don't think they looked ahead to Baltimore. I really don't. Maybe they did. But again, I don't know if that matters here, honestly. But the 3.5 is just, if it's just 3, I think it'd be all over Baltimore. 2.5, all over Baltimore. But the 3.5 is, I don't like it.
All right. Well, that's a stay away, it sounds like. Well, look, it looks like we've got a bunch of good yeses here. So
in my opinion, we have six yeses. That's what I really got. Minnesota +2.5, yep. New York +4, New England -6.5, the Rams +2.5, Dallas +5, and New Orleans -3.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we like all of them. We sort of hinted, I think, at Carolina, but that's obviously out. I'm just trying to make sure we didn't miss
it. It's interesting. And I think we like Tampa too, Houston, but we can't bet that.
Yep. We kind of like Houston, but again, we like all of these way better.
So the question becomes, where do we get to the 5 here? Do we say that Dallas and New Orleans have to wait to see injuries? Like, what do we do there? Because I feel like, you know, we have till Sunday to submit these. Like, we don't have to submit them Wednesday night. I feel like we can wait a little bit and kind of see how injuries play out. Because I think that, like, if Teron Smith doesn't play, I'm out on Dallas. But, you know, if Michael Thomas is not playing, I'm probably out on New Orleans. And then we have to decide if we're going to New Orleans or going with Dallas when it comes to it. I think we sit on these 6 right here. I know that our podcast is supposed to pick 5 and just see how the injuries play out for those two teams. Is that fair to do, you think?
Yeah. So let's play out this one let's pretend. And let's say Teron Smith plays and Michael Thomas plays. Then what? Let's go through that exercise.
Yeah. I think it's Dallas.
I think it is. Oh, man. I don't know. The Saints in this bounce back spot and going against Russ. Like, if that game's tied with 2 minutes left, we're screwed.
Which one? Oh, the Cowboys one? Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, you know, the thing about. Yeah. I mean, the thing with New Orleans, I get the bounce back situation here. But, man, I think Green Bay is kind of good. I know Davante Adams. I mean, that's the thing about, what if Davante Adams plays or doesn't play? Then I feel better about the Saints, right?
Right. Who would you rather have your heart broken by, Russ or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, jeez. New Orleans defense hasn't played terribly well. They're supposed to be good this year. I mean, this feels like a spot where they have to play well, right?
Yeah.
They have to play well.
We could just take the points and just say Seattle without the home crowd. They've let two teams back in those games. Maybe Dallas sort of turned it around with that crazy onside kick last week and the win. Or it's a letdown spot and they get blown out.
I'm looking at some notes here, man. I think that the Dallas Cowboys injury situation would change kind of how we do here, but I feel I lean toward Dallas a little bit more here.
So let's say that. Let's say it's Dallas for now, and we can reserve the right to, based on injuries,
fair enough,
switch it out to the Saints.
Fair enough, because they have injuries on defense too. Because if Davante Adams doesn't play, I would probably actually lean more to New Orleans.
Yeah, I think it's that important.
Yeah,
I think if Adams doesn't play and Thomas doesn't play, I think that would change. I think Adams is the key injury here of all of them.
I think so too, because we've seen Aaron Rodgers has not been good without Adams.
Yep.
So, all right. So for so what we're gonna do, folks, we're gonna it's because our podcast, we do whatever we want.
The podcast is free. Like, we're giving you four. We're giving you six.
Well, we're giving you six, and we don't have to submit these, like I said, tonight. So we have time. So Minnesota plus 2.5. We have two basically hold your nose games. Minnesota 2.5. Giants minus 4. New England in a bounce back spot for them with the Raiders team traveling far east after a big win on a short week, minus 6.5. Do you see Bill Belichick in his hoodie today with the holes in it? And he's ready to go.
That's all I need.
He's been in the lab all night. Rams plus 2.5 at Buffalo. And then we have two picks. We're going to look at the injury reports as we go. Dallas plus 5, New Orleans minus 3. We're going to take those two lines though. So if the lines change, those are the two we're taking based on Super Contest. So if the Saints become 2.5-point favorite or Dallas gets another point, doesn't matter. These are lines that we're sticking with. So right. I feel good about this. Because last week we got screwed with injuries. That, the Cowboys thing, I would have been off. We texted about it. We've been off that if we knew that Tyron Smith was not playing.
Yeah, that's right. We've evolved. We've grown.
We've grown on this. So Matt, I feel much better about these than I did the ones last week.
I do too. I feel like we sort of like we're in sync this week. Where last week I thought we were kind of both freelancing, and now we're
this
back.
Week we got back to our roots this week though with a lot of these picks. Like, you have to, in the long run, you will win more taking the Vikings and Giants in these situations than you will taking big favorites. It's the way it tends to work.
Yep. I still think there are a few others that are worth a few shots at. Like, I still think Philly. I think Philly and Washington could be a fun parlay. That could be a good one.
A little money line parlay.
No, just spread. I think that could be a fun one. There's a couple I really do like this week, but these are the right five.
Yeah, I'm good for these right now. All right, Matt, really appreciate it. Thank you guys for listening, for reviewing, for everything else that you guys do. I see the reviews. I see the comments. 6-4. We're going to improve on that this week. I feel a good winning week. All I got to do is go 3-2 every week. You go 3-2 every week. You make a ton of money, folks.
Yep.
So thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. And maybe we'll get back with you later in the week with what our actual pick will be for that final game as well. And I'll put something out a little closer to Monday with the Ravens and Chiefs. Just kind of talk more about that game. So fascinating to see how that one goes. All right, guys. Have a great week of football. Talk to you guys later.